question. You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. With your host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly. Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen. So here I am, in beautiful Sunny Finglas, with the man himself, Scotty Davis.
Yep.
The, what would you say, the assassin of Liger?
No, I wouldn't say assassin.
You wouldn't go that far yet?
He's still walking.
No. He's crawling.
He's trying his best.
Listen, Scotty, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming here. And thanks for taking the time out to come to the show.
Well, no, I'm happy to be here.
To my show, should I say, because, I mean, you're pretty much booked everywhere at this point. you're a man in demand. I don't say that lightly. You're pretty much, all eyes are on you at the moment. How's it feel? I mean, I guess let's start with when Will Ospreay told you on two shows ago on OTT that you were going to be the man to face Liger. Did you know? Was that genuine?
No, it was genuine. Yeah,
it was genuine.
It was kind of hard to believe. There was a lot of talk going around that it might happen. Like, when the lads were at Liger, I was going out with, like, a lot of kind of naming me out, but I was like, nah, wouldn't be me, I wouldn't be put in like that position, there wouldn't be that much faith put in me.
Yeah.
And, Emily, when he said that in the ring, it was insane, especially, like, given that there was, like, over, like, 1,000 people like chanting my name and chanting the spot for when it did happen.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was an incredible moment really, and since then I've just had like this new wave of confidence over me completely.
Did you start kind of weighing up the option saying, right, well, Jordan's booked, he's already in the main, yeah. He's yeah. in the title, because Jordan would be prime candidate,
yeah.
And then Joe isn't wrestling, who else we got?
Yeah, no, I was thinking like there's like loads of lads, like, but yeah, it was just mad to actually hear that and like have a confirm and like seeing match cards going up and things like that.
Yeah, you can see.
Even since it happened, it's still surreal to me. Like, looking at it back, it's surreal. I keep getting pictures back, and I'm still getting pictures back now from it. And it's like, it's weird looking at them just because of how much like I had an influence on me like growing up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because I mean that's the thing about you. Like, I mean, you're a young man. You're only 18. That's right, people. He's fucking 18. Anyone that's feeling old right now, especially some of these old timers that are out there, they're gonna look and go, "Fuck, Scotty Davis, only 18. Shit." But you kind of, I suppose, let's rewind a little bit and go back to the start. You actually had a start in amateur wrestling.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, yeah, my dad was a bodybuilder and he trained in a gym in town, and like my dad was like big into wrestling, but like he kind of got into it through the bodybuilding aspect of it.
Right.
But then since then, like,
because into amateur or pro?
Into not he was like a fan of pro wrestling because of the right. bodybuilding aspect.
It was, sure, like, he liked kinda, looking. Yeah, it was yeah, like yeah.
late '80s, early '90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got into it, and yeah.
So there was lots of spandex around your house now because the bodybuilders.
Yeah. So when having an older brother, I remember when he turned 6. And my dad put him in freestyle wrestling gym.
Yeah.
And then my brother trained there, and then like 5 years later I turned 6, and my brother put me into it. And
was that with Hercules?
Yeah, that was in town. Yeah, Hercules yeah. in town. And then from there then like my brother was like had a big influence in coaching me then throughout there. And I I done freestyle wrestling until I was about 15, 16. Like, that's wow. When, like, I still training it, but that was kind of when I stopped competing and started, like, prioritizing professional.
Because I can see that in your base, even the way you move, yeah. Like, even when you're running into the ring, like, certain, like, pro wrestlers have a certain way of, like, you know, stretching on the ropes yeah. And stuff like that. You have a certain way. It you can see the telltale signs that this guy's got an amateur background. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and I started pro wrestling when I was 14. And that's just from there I kind of fell in love with it. Like, even when I started freestyle wrestling, it was always with the intent of becoming a pro. And it was just about finding the right place and, like, being the right age and things like that.
And you're pretty much Ireland's own Kurt Angle, because you're like a 7-time.
Yeah.
Irish. Is a freestyle champion?
Yeah, freestyle champion.
Irish freestyle champion. Shit, man.
Yeah.
Who were some of the guys that you beat? Did you beat, like, other Irish guys? Did you ever fight any foreigners?
A lot of Irish guys, Americans, British people that came over for it, like, things like that. A lot of Northern Irish lads. Like, I was going against loads of them because there's a couple of skills up there.
So you beat the Brits, yeah?
Yeah. Always beating the Brits.
Random out.
Yeah.
Random out.
Yeah, since I was six, just laid ramming the Brits out. But yeah, like, since then. And even, like, I'd be going to the UK the whole time, like,
yeah.
To, like, Scotland, England, and Northern Ireland a lot. Then to do, like, different competitions over there and stuff.
Really?
So, like, I've always been comfortable with going over there. Yeah. And then, like, so, like, going over there now, like, pro wrestling all the time, it's been, like...
You're used to travelling, like...
Yeah, yeah, I'm fairly comfortable with it.
And in terms of, like, you mentioned your brother's in the army, like, and your dad was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not your stereotypical Finglas family, like, where...
Nah.
Dad works down in the industrial estate down the road. You actually had... Your dad obviously had a dream... And a hobby of being a bodybuilder.
My dad was in Thurland and things like that. Like, so yeah. He was very good at what he done.
Yeah.
Then, like, my brother had, we mentioned him at the time, so he was in, like, freestyle champion. My brother was, like, double that. So, like...
Your dad was a real kind of almost, like, your biggest fan. Like, he was just
very passionate about what he's doing and things like that, and, like,
like,
through his love for like wrestling stuff, then, like, even, like, me nan who I live with now, like, she got really into it, and, like, she kind of
your nanny,
yeah, like, me nanny,
the granny's like, always loved the wrestling,
like, she's mad, but, like, she'd stay up, like, every month for the pay-per-views and stuff, like, just screaming at the top of her voice, like, for, like, whoever she'd want, like,
really,
like, yeah, loves John Cena, she does,
deadly, she loves John Cena,
loves him, yeah. Yeah, so, like, there was always kind of that aspect, and it just became a thing in our house that was, like, wrestling was, like, just the coolest thing. Like,
that was when you just got together and all sat down and kind of chilled. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, like, a family, like, we wouldn't come together for dinner or, like, movies or anything. We just come together to watch wrestling, like, every so often. Like,
so wrestling is literally in your blood, like, I mean, when you think about it, you started at 13, not too dissimilar to an Irish champion at the moment as well, and... You had a family that kind of supported you as well. I mean, your dad obviously had his vision of him, you know, and him being a bodybuilder meant that it wasn't like an airy fairy type of idea for you to be a wrestler. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's what, like, when I was 13, then, like, it was like me and my brother, like, I joined main stage when I was 13 through professional wrestling. He joined Prime on Charlestown, which is SBG now. He joined that for MMA, and I remember, like, because I was kind of into that at the time, and he was, like, into pro wrestling as well. So
Conor McGregor was probably big at the time. And
he was kind of
on the way up.
So my brother went to, like, my brother was kind of more MMA, kind of heavy, like, preferred training with MMA, and I preferred training with, like, pro wrestling. I mean, like, we tried both for a while, and, like, I was doing MMA and I was doing pro wrestling for a while, but it was just pro wrestling I just kind of had a connection with, and it was something that I, like,
that was your bag.
I never seen myself, like, ever quitting, like, or stop doing it after the first class. Like, after the first class, I just always looked forward to, like, going to the next one, and then, like, so, like, I was really passionate about that, and what I was passionate about MMA, so that's kind of when we went down a different paths.
And who was your first trainer when you went to
Joe
was still, he was your main trainer.
Still is today.
It's crazy. Like, because, yeah, I mean, 5 years, when you think about it, five years. That's crazy. And now, I mean, if you look at it, going back, what, do you want me to open that for you?
Yeah, Well, I know.
No. So going back 5 years, I'm sure there's no way you thought, like, shit, I'm going to be wrestling in front of 2,500 people.
Yeah, it's
insane. In the national stadium. On a regular basis. Yeah. Not like, I mean,
not just the once off thing.
Like, yeah, like this is the funny thing about Irish wrestling.
16, like.
Yeah. I mean, Irish wrestling is one of the hotspots. I mean,
yeah, it's one of the peak countries, like, not even in Europe or in the world for wrestling. Like, it's insane the talent that's producing. And, like, it's producing, like, really good talent. Like,
we
go off to England and we're doing seminars in England and we're like we're noticeably better than the lads and the trainers over there and the wrestlers over there are saying it, that we're better than the trainees over there.
Yeah.
And, like, you just see it, and, like, even when we're going over for, like, a fight club seminar, and there was there was just such a gap, and, like, I think it opened a lot of eyes, and since then it's been opening a lot of eyes, because anytime there's, like, seminars and Irish lads are going over, people are noticing kind of what we're made of over here.
The Irish have been killing it for a long time over the UK, do you know what I mean? Like, it's always been... We've always been better than them at most things.
Like. I feel like lately it's really like with the younger lads going over, like, through seminars and all, like, and, like, then we do get, like, opportunities for shows over there. I know I'm wrestling probably out of the young lads, I'm probably wrestling most, I know more than high about wrestling all and things like that.
Yeah.
And, like, Karen's always over there, Jordan's always over there. So you have a lot of Irish people over there, and like I say, I've always, like, we'd be getting, like, the most of the Irish people, and we'd be getting that bit more exposure, and, like, they're all taking notice. Straight away. Like,
oh, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
I remember I went to Liverpool a few times, and every time I went, I wasn't having great matches, but, like, and I was kind of upset about my matches. I was disappointed in myself after them.
Oh, really?
But then the lads would come up to me and they'd be like, "Oh, that was one of the best matches I've seen live." I'm like, "What?" Like, really?
But you yourself knew that it wasn't your best workload.
I knew I've had matches that were like 10 times better, and then they were like, "Oh no, it was like super good, my favourite matches." Like,
it's
insane. Like, and then, like, from, like, any seminar I've done over there, I've gotten shows over. Like, any seminar I've done, like, promoters have, like, picked up on it and seen kind of what I'm made of. Like, I'm still, like.
And that's good, I suppose, for young lads, because we were actually talking about this earlier, about, like, I guess, because you're kind of experienced, even at 18, like, you're an experienced wrestler now, in the sense that, like, you've wrestled a lot of shows, you've been wrestling, like, shows since you were, like, 15, 16.
14,
even, like, and you've been around some big names in the wrestling business, so you've learned.
Yeah, so your first match was in there with, like, Joe Cabrera Bones, so yeah. you can't get much better start.
Two veterans of the Irish scene, like, do you know what I mean? So, like, you were talking earlier about, and we'll get into it, like, we don't hold back on naming and shaming areas, you know, but, like, we were talking about earlier, like, in terms of, you know, guys coming down with the wrong attitude, coming down thinking, like, your first show, you've made it, that's it, boom. The hard work starts after the first show.
Yeah. I don't think the hard work ever stops.
Well, that's it. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. For me,
I'm always trying to play. I'm always trying to get fair. Like,
look at Vince McMahon. Yeah. You think Vince McMahon is stopping? No, like, because Vince McMahon's a billionaire, and the motherfucker is still in better shape than half his roster.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's insane. Yeah. It's mad to think, and then there's so many lads, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm always trying to get fit, I'm getting the best shape I can, I'm constantly trying, I'm in the gym nearly every day, and I'm, like, trying as hard as I can to get in the best shape, and I'm always trying to think of new meals, trying to think of ways to reinvent myself, like, be more and more interesting, just be a better package overall. I'm always trying to, like, so, but then there's lads who, like, they'd be around for a while, and you think just because they're around for a while, they're, like, guaranteed spots on shows, and, like, there's this big actual problem with, like, oh, if I'm training, then I should be on shows, but, like, people aren't thinking, like, past training, like, even if they are training, they're not thinking past training, they're just thinking if they're training, then they should be on shows, but, like, they're not thinking about time in the gym, they're not thinking about character work, move sets, like, or anything above that, like, they're not thinking of, like, being creative with gear or anything like that.
Well, look at Debbie Keitel, for example. She's a good example, because she only got into wrestling a while back, and I remember Justy saying, while she was training, she was working on her social media and putting out videos that other people weren't putting out.
I feel like her strong points are social media, definitely.
Yeah.
Like,
But that's, isn't that what the modern wrestler has to be thinking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know how long she's been around, and she has her own thing, but I'd say it's definitely like a social media and like or attitude and a character work mainly. She has a very good character work.
Yeah.
That's what sets her aside.
Yeah.
And then there's lads like,
Raven Creed's a good
I think Raven Creed is like one, like I think Raven Creed's the best woman to, like in Ireland at the moment.
I've only seen I used to be like a big obviously because she's a friend, but I was a big Katie Harvey fan.
Yeah.
In the ring, I love her work. You know what I mean? Like, she comes from the same mindset as me, as in Bret Hart or guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the sense that that's the kind of work she likes to do.
Yeah.
But Raven Creed, I've seen now the last two shows live.
Yeah.
And I feel like her character, I believe that she's...
I think not even in terms of women, but I think she is the best talent that Cork, in general, had ever produced. I feel like...
After Michael Collins, possibly.
Probably, yeah. Well, no, yeah, she's like...
I understand, yeah.
I think she's a fucking fantastic performer.
And the way she walks to the ring, the way she carries herself...
She has a fantastic attitude.
You believe it, don't you? Yeah.
Fantastic attitude, fantastic ring presence. And like there's a good group of women in Ireland like right now.
Very
and,
much so. Valkyrie, get a shout out to Valkyrie.
Valkyrie's unreal. Like I've done shows and I've been in England with her like a few times. Like she's great attitude. Like lovely person. Saying like I've been in England loads of times. Like Martina, like tops. She's thing with Martina is like she's always been like good, but it was a stage in OTT where I think she was getting bland and the fans
stagnated.
The fans went out since she was getting bland, and like she was kind of doing the same thing. And fans kind of noticed that, and there was a stage where fans were kind of like turning on her, and the fans were kind of like giving a shit for doing her shtick. And like she didn't really understand why, but like it was only she like sat down, she talked about it, and like she was like giving talks about it and things. But like since then, it kind of got to her. But then since she's done nothing but train.
Because the thing about Martina is she's actually she feels deeply. She doesn't like, some people say shit, and but she'll take it and work on it. Yeah,
she took that, and now she's been, ever since then, she's been training 3-4 times a week. She's been going to Japan, she like learned her craft in Japan. She's been training super hard, always at the gym, always like thinking of ways to reinvent herself, thinking of new moves, thinking of like all this. And she has, like, she had an absolute stormer in the stadium with Miko Satomura. It's one of the best women's wrestlers ever.
That was an incredible match, man. Yeah. Incredible match.
And like, I feel like it speaks volumes about all the hard work that she's put in over the past while.
I'd agree with you, because I mean, like, for example, I know Karen a long time as well, and she's one of those people that actually does feel deeply. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you say something that might offend her, it does hurt her. Like, you know, and that's the problem with
her. It's even she just gets motivated.
Well, I don't mean hurt her as in like hurt her feelings, like, because she's not a little snowflake. But what I mean is like she'll. Sorry, guys. What we're doing at this moment in time, we're having a non-alcoholic Copperberg.
It's not
non-alcoholic. Yeah, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, look, Scotty Davis just realised that he's opening up a non-alcoholic Copperberg. But, don't worry about it though. You drink beer as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Grand. So you'll have one of them, won't you? In a minute.
Yeah.
I'll open that one full beside you and let you have your.
What's the point?
I'll let you have your choice.
What's the point?
Believe it or not, my friend, I have been. There you go. You can have that now as well. If you want to pour it into the glass, it's actually handier. The non-alcoholics are actually grand, man. What I was, I was off. Beer since Christmas.
I understand for that aspect.
Yeah. And it was kind of more just as a taste, and you kind of get the beer out of your system. Now, I do you know what I want to do? I want to introduce Paul Tracy to non-alcoholic beers.
You wouldn't be a fan.
He punched me in the face. No, we're going back to Kaza. No, Kaza, like, I mean, because all these idiots, and I can say it, I will say it, if I'm ever on a wrestling show again, whether I'm in the ring, or I'm refereeing, or I'm just fucking as a fan, these little fat fanny flaps that are in the crowd, basically calling women whatever name, we know exactly what's been said at shows before.
Yeah.
These fucking morons. This girl has done more in a year than you motherfuckers will ever do in your entire lifetime.
In a lifetime.
She's went to Japan and went through the rigmarole.
She's went to Japan, she's wrestled in New Orleans on her own talent.
Damn straight, man.
Like, she's been wrestling Japan, New Orleans. Yeah. She's gone to Australia on her own talent.
Yeah.
Just someone flying her. all the way across the globe on her own talent to wrestle on the shows. Like, she's a fantastic.
Because people called her just a gimmick, and then she went and said, right, maybe she, I am. Because and I know that for a lot of people were saying, she actually thought, am I just a gimmick? So she went, well, I'll go to Japan and work on my work.
She proved to herself and everyone else, like, what she
and
can
that,
do.
And that's all she needs to do. Do you know what I mean?
The growth of her, especially, like, you have to...
Incredible.
You have to give her credit for a lot of the growth of
her. She's the biggest... She was the most over fucking character, probably. Yeah.
Like, you think about the growth of ODT, like,
she's,
Martine is a vital part of that.
Vital part. Almost like, she had her own Hulkamania aspect in that,
which
I think is fair.
Like, you have the Lilith Award chapters, you have the Jordan Devlin chapters, like, Martine has a chapter.
Her own chapter, yeah. I think so. And that match was incredible, by the way. I mean, that show, and I commend you, my friend. I still need to work on my worker handshake again. Don't think, go on, we'll do it again. There we go. I'm getting it back now. It's starting to get loose. We were only talking about stiffness earlier. Yeah. The arm's not moving. No, but I think that show was one of the best live shows I was at, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying this. I know there's people here that will be listening to the show that I've said it to, without you just sitting here face to face with me, and they'll back me up on it. I was just, this is only my second time meeting you. Yeah. We're already buddies. But I was super proud of you, even though, you know, you weren't a friend or a colleague or anything.
Yeah.
I was super proud because I was like, here's this young Irish wrestling guy and a real wrestler.
Yeah. Because
that's what I'm all about. The real fucking wrestlers. Do you know what I mean? That take the sport seriously, because it is a fucking sport at the end of the day.
It'll always be a sport.
It's still real to me, damn it. No, but it is a sport, because regardless of whether it's a competitive avenue, you've got guys that will be happy to snatch your spot in a heartbeat. We were only talking about that earlier as well.
Yeah.
That will fucking shit on you and do whatever they can to fucking make sure that they get over ahead of you. So it is a sport. And it's also a very, very competitive environment. Yeah.
Super, like, it's super physical as well. Like, I've trained kickboxing, like, years. Like, I've trained freestyle wrestling since I'm 6. Trained MMA a while.
Yeah.
Like, tried football, all that. Like, I've tried everything. Like, nothing compares to the toughness of, like, pro wrestling.
It doesn't.
It's a mental game as well. Like, it tests your mentality a lot, your intelligence, like, your ability to remember all these sort of things. Like, there's so many aspects of it that people don't really understand, and it's super difficult. No one can just come in and just be like, I want to be a wrestler now. Like, there's so much to it, and, like, a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's why I respect wrestlers so much, and that's why I respect people like trying hard in the industry as well.
And that's it. And I mean, I suppose, going back to segue there, but like going back to my original point, or my original question, should I say, was when I was about to ask you, having been in the business 5 years now, as in, like, you know, properly doing shows and working around all these, you know, big names as well.
Yeah.
What is your advice to young guys and girls that are getting into it now? Because I know I can see the smile there, because I know we talked about this before we started the show, about one of your pet hates, and I can see it in your face while I'm asking this question, is people thinking that they're the business after doing maybe one show or two shows or something like that, and they think that's it, I'm the coup de grace now. No pun intended on Fergie, wink wink. But you know what I mean, they think they are this shit now, and that I don't have to work on my body anymore. Or even, for example, you were even saying you don't even care if they work on their body or they're down training every week. It's not thinking outside the box and trying to constantly be creative.
And even it's about helping out and showing and respecting other people. Like, there's a lack of respect, I find, with certain people. Not every, like, there's great respect in Irish wrestling, but there is certain people who, like, just like you don't understand the whole aspect of, like, shaking people's hand, like, and all this sort of thing. Like, there's people who have so much free time, but won't take that time and, like, do a flyer run or a poster run, or, like, do one show barely to help out with the ring, or, like, stay late to, like, bring the ring back and things like that. And it's something I don't understand. I don't understand why lads don't, like, go to OTT shows, like, the way they do on text show and be like, hey, can I help out at the show? I can do security, I can do this, I can help out in whatever way I can.
Just don't.
Yeah, because every single OTT show that I wasn't on before I was on them, I was you'll notice if you look at the Mac, or if you see, or if you like, if you look at any of the OTT shows before March 2017, before I started, you'll see that I'm ringside for every single show.
I saw you in North South Shopping Centre one week when you were doing a show out in Coolock.
Yeah, you were
with the missus, I think. There you were, just.
Yeah, so I was always I was always like I still do to this day. I still go around. I was posting for I was tagging up with Osprey on that Sean Tallis Stadium. I was still posting for that. I was still handing out flyers. I was still doing my best to help out the show, and there was lads like who were like trained a couple of months, and like just feel like they're above that. And I don't get it. I was ringside for every show before I started ODT. I was helping out with the ring security, anything I could, and like that became noticed. And that became noticed, and it helped towards getting me a spot. Like, I had to work super hard on, like, on my spot, like outside of the ring as well as inside of the ring.
It's attitude, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel like, because it's, this month it's been 2 years now since my ODT debut, and I feel like that debut, I don't know, like, not a lot I was in there, it wasn't great. I feel like I opened like a lot of people's eyes to what a young Irish wrestler can do, and what like that like young Irish wrestlers deserve a platform, and like I feel like it just opened it up, and then people wanted to see us more, and then through that match and through opening people's eyes with what we could do, we like created the Contenders brand from that. I'm not saying like obviously Joe's behind it and stuff, but I feel like we opened his eyes, and I feel like we opened a lot of people's eyes to like that. Young Irish wrestlers deserve a platform, and there's a lot of them out there who are hungry and waiting for spots and waiting to improve and get that experience. And I feel like since Contenders have come, like you look at the people who have come from Contenders, like myself, Martin Hype, Valkyrie, Michael, Curtis, Raven Creed, so many like wrestlers now who are wrestling over in the UK, like Tropicana, even with them, like I feel like they're fantastic wrestlers, and I know their whole character stick is like next level, but they are fantastic wrestlers underneath all that as well, and they're trying super hard in the gym and everything else, and they have fantastic attitudes, and that's why they are where they are. It's because it's not just going training once a week or once a month and doing a show and expecting everything to just come from that. Because you notice, and I've noticed, like people who have the attitude of, oh, we'll just do shows now, if I'm on shows I'll keep getting shows and like all that, like people who have that attitude, you don't last.
No, yeah, that's, and you know what, the funny thing about it is, back in my day, it was kind of like that. I fell into that kind of mindset where you're like, ah, well, look, you know, I've already done it before, so I can.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't have the education back then that you would have now, because you've got so much now and you've got so much competition now.
Yeah.
But I can see it now. It's like if you reverse and you rewind the time and you go, shit, where did I fuck up? Oh, there.
Yeah.
You know? And such an old head on young shoulders for you, I commend you on that. Because
it happened to me, because I have a hard time looking back at my first few ODT matches. I look at the back, but like I cringe every time. My first match I had at the National Stadium was insane. Like, it was huge moment for me. It was a 16-year-old wrestling for 2,200 people with this like American superstar, and I'm like, oh, this is insane.
Was your dad all there and your brother? Was your nanny there?
My nanny comes to any contender show.
Does
she? My nanny's at all the contender show. Yeah,
she's definitely in the front.
She loves it. She loves it. She does.
Love it.
Yeah, but like. For that one, I look back in the footage on that, and I'm cringing, and I'm like, nah, do this, and like I pick up on everything I do wrong. I said earlier, I had a really bad match in the second time I was in the Tivoli, and from that I learned a lot from that. I was like giving time away, and I thought about all that going wrong and tried to reinvent myself. But, what happened after that was I stopped being a high flyer, because what's the point?
You're the supreme suplex machine.
Yeah, I've been doing freestyle wrestling since I'm 6 years old.
Yeah.
Why would I want to be a high flyer when there's millions of others in the world who could do that just as good as I can and do it much better than me?
Why
would I want to be doing flips on the same show as Will Ospreay? Like, it doesn't really. You know what I mean? He's obviously going to do it better.
I had a conversation. That's amazing. That's an amazing that you spotted that and you saw that in yourself that early.
Yeah, so.
No, go ahead, sorry.
It was, I was saying after that, so, like, I had, like, in the Madison. I remember just after that being like, ah, it's fucked. But then, like, I remember working on my strengths and, like, playing to my strengths then. And then I had a match with Joe on Contenders. And it's, like, still to this day, it's one of my favourite matches. I was only 16 at the time, but still one of my favourite matches. I just got to play to my strengths. Worked on suplexes, gator rolls, everything, that aspect of it. And then, like, once I got that down, then I could, like, work on fitting in the best kicks I can do. I'll fit in them here and there when I can, and then I'll fit, like, and then, like, I've done that for a bit, and then, like, if I can do one cool flip, I'd strategically place it,
yeah.
And then, like, I'll work on it for a good while before mm-hmm. I'll, like, even think of putting on the show, and I'll make sure mm-hmm. I have it down. But then, like, yeah, so I worked on a lot, and I've been playing to my strengths, and I feel like when I implemented the whole Supreme Suplex Machine thing, it's kind of where I started finding myself as a wrestler.
Yeah. And I mean, that's amazing. Like, you literally Jim Cornette's wet dream. Like, if he was running the show, I'd be like, I want that guy. You know, I'm working on gator rolls, working on... But it's true, though. Like, if you want to be a pro wrestler, because essentially that's what it is, you're in a, you know, you're in a... Whatever size ring you may have, like, whether it be fucking 18 by 18, whatever it may be, it's...
It originated from grappling at the end of the day.
Exactly. It originated from it, and that's it. Like, so...
That's the
roots. If you're getting into it to be a gymnast, why not just join the circus? Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's a hell of a lot more of a guaranteed gig, circus, than wrestling.
Yeah, so.
And that's the thing about it, is, like, people that... Now, because I always liked it... I always like history of wrestling and stuff like that. So I always like looking back on the Kearney days and stuff like that, which is where we get a lot of the, you know, the terminology and verbiage that we use nowadays for wrestling. But at the same time, when you look at the kind of psychology of it all, it was all about fighting and making it look real and making it look believable. Yeah,
to me, it's always a fight in there. I'll always, like, we're not in a fight, so why not just go in and have a fight? Like, most of my matches, like, they'll start off with a fight. And if we want to do stuff after, we'll, like, gradually get to that.
That's exactly it. And I like the way you're saying you strategically throw. Because, like, if you can do, like, a backflip or whatever, some sort of flip where you're elevating and you're putting your whole, like, body weight in some foot.
I'm doing freestyle lessons since I'm, like, six, so, like, I have that kind of athletic prowess and I've always
exactly.
had.
So, yeah.
Like, there's no point, like, I can show that off when I can, but there's no point in, like, kind of plastering a match or it. Like, it's because it's not my style. And that's not disrespecting anyone who has that style. I respect people and their athletic ability and to be able to do all that sort of thing. But for me, for me, my strength is wrestling. And
well, tell me this and tell me no more. What you've teamed with him, right? What Will Ospreay match would you prefer watch? Will Ospreay wrestling or Will Ospreay doing a fucking
like
because he can wrestle.
Will Ospreay, you know what I mean? Is a fantastic wrestler.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. I'd rather watch... I remember... Because like, in fairness, I put this on my podcast a while back. And we had a bit of a debate about it when he was comparing himself to the Dynamite Kid in the sense of, like, he didn't want to hurt his body and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, first of all, don't put yourself in the same sentence as Dynamite Kid. No one should.
Mm.
But... I understand now what he was trying to say at the time. He was basically just trying to say, I don't want to be that guy that ends up, you know, in my fucking 30s and for the rest of my life in a wheelchair and not able to do what I love. But what... Because he hurt himself a while back and then he kind of changed his game again a little bit and went back to basics.
Become like one of the best wrestlers in the whole world, and people are noticing how good of a wrestler he is as opposed to
exactly.
Like,
and that's what I'm saying.
He can still do incredible flips, but he doesn't do. He
doesn't need to.
Yeah, and he'll put them in strategically when he needs to. Like, not when he needs to, but when he'd like to. And, like, that's when people.
So what's the point of flips? You see, this is what I'm saying. Like, people have this obsession with fucking. You might agree with me. You might disagree with me. Please tell me if you do or don't. But people have this insane obsession with, like, you know. For example, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega does all these fucking 20 million spots in 1 second.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them. I've seen two Kenny Omega and Okada matches now. Can't tell you one spot from them.
Yeah.
Because it was just so much crammed in.
Yeah.
But in a 60-minute match with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, I remember it.
Yeah.
Because it was slow and methodical, and I remember the big move. The story.
For me, it's exactly. Like, for me, like, I have I have a big list of meals. I have like all these different things I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I just want to go and tell a story most of the time.
And you
that's again going back to that match I had with Joe. I remember he came up and he's like, "What spots do you want to get in? What meals do you want to do?" And I was like, "Joe, to be honest, I just want to tell a story this much." And I feel like that kind of opened his eyes a bit to like the approach I had. So I think he thought it was
the right approach.
He thought I was gonna be like, I was gonna come to him with these like flippy spots. Yeah. And him be like, "Oh no, wait, hold on for a sec." But now
Well, you mentioned an unnamed wrestler earlier, and what did you say? Remember we were talking about an unnamed wrestler. I'll say it for you. We won't get anyone in trouble. But you mentioned someone going, "Oh, we feel that I'm not getting my shit in, would you?"
Oh yeah. So and like that was another.
I'm throwing you under the bus. I don't mean it like that.
I'd bury this lad down beyond belief. He's like,
I love it.
Yeah, it was again. It was the whole point of like me and him calling to him. I was trying to tell a story, like a back and forth. Like you get your stuff in here, I'll get my stuff in. Like back and forth, me you. So I'm like, "What do you want to do?" He tells me, I'm like, "Well, here's what I'm gonna do in this spot. What do you want to do after that?" And he's like, "No, you're getting too much in." And like, I'm not. I'm like, and then like, I was like, he didn't know what he wanted to do, so I was like, "Here's more for you." And he's like, "No." And he just kept disagreeing with me for the sake of disagreeing with me because he wanted to come off as like better than me, like for that. And it was like he had his heart set on being better than me, and he's still been trying to this day, and like, but now he can't get booked outside of Dublin, and it's rare for him to get booked in Dublin or anywhere. So like, it speaks volumes about his attitude and where his attitude has gotten him.
So he's the man that shall not be named and will not be named. There you go.
Jobber.
You were giving ear to me. We cling to that. But I understand everything you said there. Like, makes 100%. Like, 100% sense to me, because, like, it's a dance. I always had that problem as well.
Mm.
People going, "What are you gonna get in?" Blah, blah, blah. My favorite thing to those people was like, "What do you do?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, I do this, do that." But like, all right, we'll fit that in. We'll call the rest in the ring. Grand. People go, "Huh?" But that's the way. If you're a good heel, you should be able to just get in there, for example.
Yeah.
And just call it in the ring with getting your stuff in. Start, middle, finish, boom, done.
Mm. I feel like I've had a...
Giving away stuff here now. The wrestling's real, by the way. We're talking about promoting the show here. No.
One of the lads I love wrestling over in the UK, and I've wrestled a lot of time now, is Chris Woodray. You get to go in, like, and like, we both have a really similar style, like, we have similar backgrounds and things like that. So, like, when we get in, we're like, we won't call it until like the last minute.
Yeah.
And we'll just go in and we'll wrestle for the whole thing. We're going like grapple. We're just going in there and having a fight. And there's nothing to it, we're not holding back, we're gonna go
in. So, do you believe then? I love the way you said that. Do you believe that in 2019? That matches like...
No, like if like lads are comfortable, like it's only like, because I know Ridgeway is real comfortable with that, so we'll go in there and we'll just grapple around for ages and we'll have this real competitive thing. But if lads want to do something different, I don't mind, they'll do something different.
And how did the fans react to when you grapple
When we grapple, it's different to them because they're so used to this other style of match. They're so used to the shine, heat, hold, come back. Like when you go in and just see lads locking up and not doing them international, you see lads just grappling, going for chokes, going for this, going for that, yeah. But like, we'll gradually get to a stage where we'll grapple enough, and then like we'll just end up like kicking each other, but we know each other, and like we know where to kick, like where's the right place to kick and where's the right place to like forearm punch, wherever. So then when we get to that, we're striking each other around the place, and like we can grapple for six to eight minutes, like non-stop grappling. We could throw a forearm there and it'll get better. We'd throw a forearm after that and it'll get better pop than a Canadian destroyer 2 matches before. Like, so.
Now, what did I just do there? I just shook your hand because. But that's it.
To me, it's just we can build a true fight, and we don't have to build a true like any antics or anything like that. Like, we build a true fight, and then like, then we don't need to be behind the curtain before the match, like being like, oh, what do we remember? Like, what's there? Like, and then like panicking before the match, like, oh, what's next?
Because that's the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world. It's the worst feeling in the world, yeah, because you're going out unsure.
Yeah, the worst feeling is going out unsure of what's coming next.
That's it.
I'm like, since having that match, like, I can go out and do like, if lads want to have a spot fest, so I go out and have a spot fest, and I don't really mind. Like, I'm so comfortable now out there that, like, I won't be panicking before a match.
I used to just give my body.
Yeah.
Really, what's the spot fest? Yeah, just, I'll go limp. I'll be like, yeah, a lightweight, like an Olympic swimmer, just go.
Yeah, so like, yeah, man, it's just a lot easier and the fans get really into it, but like, if I have to have like a different style of match, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to have a match where I'm not telling a story. That's,
but basically, I know, I suppose the moral of the story there, like what you're saying, is that it's about being adaptable, being able to adapt to different styles, which is what it's all about.
It's very important to be able to do that, because like,
yeah,
I'm not saying like if someone has a certain style, go and wrestle their style, have your own style and like fit that in whenever you can. Like I was telling you earlier about the lad I wrestled in London, who had like a really old school British world of sport type style, and I'd be more of the shoot wrestling kind of like grappley like freestyle type fighting. So like,
it probably went hand in hand, did it? Like,
yeah, so we went hand in hand. Like, I didn't like it started off and like it was real old school Britishy kind of like wrist lock, nip ups, like snapmares, all that kind of like the bridges and like all those real world of sport type. And then like, then once you separated, you just went in, I was like, right, my turn now, waist lock, takedown, like roll around.
Yeah.
And then like, nice. Then we separated, people was like, oh, that's his style. And then we done stuff later in the match, people like, they recognise what the different styles.
Exactly.
Really, a lot of people don't have styles like nowadays,
they're just
indie wrestlers, and they're like, lads, like, and like, go up to them, like, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, yeah, I'll do a Canadian Destroyer super kick.
Finish with a shooting star.
Yeah, discus clothesline. No, because someone are too lazy.
Like, shooting star would be too much work.
But then, like, yeah, someone like, oh, yeah, super kick. Like, just all these moves that, like, all, like, cold reds and, like, all these moves that, like, everybody's doing. Like, and the sling blades and all that now, like, Not against a good sling blade, but blame everybody is doing them because everybody is doing them.
And that's the thing, though. That's the thing. Yeah, essentially what you're saying there is, like, guys are going out and trying to copy what they've seen on the latest Ring of Honor show
Be unique. Like, if you're seeing other indie wrestlers do it, then don't do it. Be unique. Have your own thing. Have your own style. If you can, like, name what style you have and what type of wrestler you want to be, then you're grand. But, like, don't just go out and do something.
Because would you agree with me when I say this, right? If you look at, like, if you sit back for a minute, like, I mean, as a professional wrestler, you're working for yourself.
Yeah.
You're your own business at the end of the day. If you take a step back and you look at the guys that have had the long career and then the guys that have had the short career.
Yeah.
And you go, which one do I want to have? Mm. That's no disrespect to the guys that have had short careers.
Yeah.
Like, we mentioned Dynamite. I mention him on every single show, every single podcast, purely because of the work that he invented. But obviously, that was a style that wasn't built to fucking last.
Yeah.
But then you look at guys like Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, whoever else it may be, right? They knew to tell stories and slow down. It's like what you're saying there. Like, they actually worked for maybe 10 minutes at this. Like, if they've got a 20 minute match, even say even a 15 minute match. Owen Hart was great at that. Owen Hart was one of the greatest fucking high flyers of all time.
Yeah.
But you'd see him working for like maybe 10 minutes of that match, and the last 3 to 4 to 5 minutes would be all the fancy stuff.
Like, a lot of people like say that Jeff Hardy's kind of like all over the place, his stuff. He places it very well.
I think he's very methodical,
He's very methodical.
I agree,
same,
yeah.
Same with Rob Van Dam, like, both of them.
Yeah.
Some of my favourites growing up.
But, yeah, I agree, yeah, yeah.
Love both of their work.
Whereas you look at Rob Van Dam wrestling Jerry Lynn, for example, you could tell that they had everything written down. It was like, they had to remember all that shit. But then Rob Van Dam could go out and wrestle, say, Sabu.
Yeah.
And it would be completely different, but then,
Rob Van Dam, then he could go and have a match with, like, the likes of Shawn Michaels or
Kurt Angle. Jericho or something,
And it'd just be solid wrestling then, and then he'd throw the strikes and the flips in at the end, like, when he needed to.
Guerrero's a good example of that.
Fantastic example.
Guerrero's a great example of that.
Mysterio.
Yeah, because I mean, if you looked at Guerrero, would you watch some of his WCW stuff when he first came in? He was doing all the Lucha Libre stuff, coming fresh out of AAA, and it was like boom, 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 and it was real fast paced. But then you'd see him get in the ring with the likes of Diamond Dallas Page, and it'd be like a slow, methodical thing. He was like, I'm the smaller guy here, so I gotta work on the.
It was just solid hands, Sam and Ben, like he'd hit a suplex, you're like boom, he'd hit a suplex, and he'd let the crowd react to it, let them soak it in, whereas now lads are like boom, like I remember seeing a suplex, rusted next one, boom, like I saw, I get a lot of that as well, like I used to do, I used to like, what's next, what's next, and like, I feel like a lot of people are with nerves and things like that, but it's just about being comfortable in the ring and knowing, kind of, and it only comes with experience, really.
Definitely, like, and nerves can play a part in it. Like, especially
used to play, kind of, like, a fair part of me, like, kind of, in the matches, like, the crowd was kind of quiet, and I remember being like, oh, fuck, I done something wrong.
But sometimes they're just enjoying it.
Sometimes they just want to soak it in, and that's something I've noticed with doing, like, shoot wrestling stuff at the start. Is that, like, if they're, like, quiet, then, like, I've seen, like, some people, like,
you're building it?
Yeah, some people are, like, edged forward in the seat, sort of, like, paying attention to, like, the little holes and all the different little things that we're doing with our body, and, like, people are actually coming and paying attention to those little things, and, like, that's good signs, you know what I mean? Like, there's no point in rushing that.
Remember listening to Brett and Sean talking about that Iron Man match?
Mm.
You were saying the way they paced it out at the start, the first 20 minutes. It was very slow, it was like hold for hold and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it started getting like one got the upper hand. And I remember, I think it was Sean saying, and Brett, both of them, saying that you could start to see people go like that, leaning forward, and they were like, oh shit, what's going to happen next? Because, like, it's almost like, it's like a game of, like, people watch snooker for a reason. Yeah. There's a reason snooker is on national television. It might be a boring sport to some people, but there's a reason people take interest in it. It's slow, it's a slow game, but there's an end to it.
Yeah,
and people want to see the end. They want to see who wins. Do you know what I mean? And that's why they watch it, you know. And they want to see that big 1-4-7 break. If you get a big 1-4-7 break at the end of it, it's like, whoa, that's the icing on the cake. And that's when you get the shit in, man. That's when you get the fucking. Do you know what I mean? Made that analogy on the spot. Sorry, but I'm actually proud of that one.
Yeah,
but it makes sense, doesn't it? Because you're it's just a game. It's a small. It's like. We all love the car crashes. It's like the boxing matches. I'm sure you've heard of Hagler and Hearns when they just went out for the first four rounds and went, blah, traded blows.
Yeah, I love that as well.
It's amazing. Like, I love it. It's amazing.
One of my matches that week where, like, I started up with I started up by giving some lad, like, about leading 6 or 7 overhead suplexes because you dickhead to me during his entrance, like, so, I swung him around, like, at the start, where, like, boom, dive, mad fast start, like, people, like, mad for it, like, you're out of seat, like, straight away, like, oh, shit, this getting, like, but, like, it was the main of a show, so, like, it was a title match, and I saw you were up, and then, like, then I was distracted, bang, hit, and then we just let it settle then, and then we'd start to build from there, kind of thing, so that was a different approach I took.
But it's nice to have a different approach because it depends on who you're working, doesn't it?
I do love, like, doing my grappling sort of match and things like that. But I love a brawl. I love doing a brawl. I know, like, for, like, the wrestling at Aisha and stuff like that. I also love, like, just going around and around and stuff like. I know, like, Danny Butler used to be great for it.
Danny Butler is probably, shout out to Danny Butler.
Yeah, I love that.
One of my favourite people on the planet, one of my best friends. Here's a little story, a segue.
Yeah.
I used to go missing, right? My dad would be out in Bray and he would go. It was a Thursday night.
Yeah.
We'd go out in a bar in town and Danny Butler, every now and then, would show up from Kildare. Like, how are you going? And you'd be like, what's up, Danny? What's the story? You have a few quid in your pocket. You'd be like, do you want to come back to Kildare? The last fucking bus to Kildare, right? On a Thursday. I'd show back up in Bray on a Monday. My dad have a search party out. Like, literally, be like, calling everyone, going, you heard from Ian? No. It's in the day of Nokia blocky is.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had no charge, you were like, whatever.
Yeah.
Next of all, turn the phone on. million calls from a million different people. Like, Danny Butler and myself would be there, like, bottle of Jack Daniels. This will do all for the weekend. He's a great guy. Yeah. He's 100%.
He's a legend.
He really is, yeah, man.
Remember when I was like dressing that each show, like we'd like build up towards the main, and we'd get to the main event, and me and him would just brawl around everywhere.
Yeah.
He'd be throwing me at the chairs, and I'd be ending up in the last row. He'd come in, follow me, he'd get thrown in a bin, then he'd get out, we'd knock it, he'd be throwing coke cans at me and everything, and I'd be going into a bin and everything, and then we'd be going out, like, and people are getting mad into it because it's right up in their face and stuff like that. So like, we'd be like bashing each other around the place.
Yeah.
We gas, like, you know, like, we'd throw each other around, like, we'd do the rest in the ring, and people would be like mad into it. But like,
very underrated wrestler as well, isn't he?
Very, very.
Very underrated wrestler, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Danny Butler, man, like, he should be on shows prominently.
Yeah.
I think Danny Butler has got every bit. It's like him and Justy are almost two peas from the same pod.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? But it's like, Danny, there's a place for Danny.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And I really do think
there's a place for Danny. I was going to do death matches a while back. Like, I don't need to. I know I don't need to, but I wanted to, like, try deal with different stories. Because I want to, like, get prominent in every story, aren't I? Like, I know, like, I was informed not to, and I was
not to. Yeah, I'm informing you not to.
I'd still try it, aren't I? Because I'd still remember, like, watching someone being like, yeah, like, I want to try that, and I want, like, because, like, I love doing brawls and things like that, but, like, I was thinking of, like, dead matches where I'd, like, influence storytelling and suplex and all, like, where, like, something different, I'd, like, Because I'm mad at adding a different aspect and a different just a different different property to these different things, like, to make I thought I'd bring something different to it, because I want to do that with, like, most of us. Like, I want to wrestle all these different styles, but then add my own spark to it.
Sure, and different. I mean, I commend you on that, man, because that's really cool.
So, I try all these different styles, but, like, I don't mind, like, I love the brawl, like, I get mad excited, and, like, when Conor Madsen's, like, right outside brawl, I'm like, yes.
Like, I used to love that myself. Yeah. There's just something nice about getting, like, a smack in the face to make it. I know, it sounds sadistic, doesn't it? Like, yeah.
Well, the amount of, if you look back at the contender shows, the amount of times I've been launched into the bleeding seventh row,
Well, that's it, like, what are you weighing in on now?
I don't know, actually.
Keep it kayfabe, it's alright.
I don't know.
Between, say, near enough, 170.
Yeah. I'm not
too sure. I'd say about
170.
Thanks for making me feel better about myself. Because you're taller than me. You're about, what, 5'11"?
Six on the dot.
Yeah, I'm 5'9". Fucking 175 now. That's why I've got all these gimmicks around me here. I'm like, I'm bulking, yeah. But it that's the thing about it, like, I suppose you mentioned earlier on, like, about lads not taking the gym and all serious enough. We go to shows, like, and, well, 2 years later they're like the same shape.
I don't mind, like, lads kind of not being in great shape and, like, not but it's about fitness as well. Fitness, like, we're professional athletes at the end of the day, it's what we're being described as, and we should be there.
Well, you've got to go 20 minutes, you should be able to go 20 minutes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of lads who can't, but they'll still complain about not being on shows.
Yeah.
Like, so I think going to the gym is a big aspect of it, but, like, I know sometimes people train and having full-time jobs, being in college and stuff like that, it's hard to find time.
Yeah.
And, like, I do understand that, especially, like having to deal with social, like, being in relationships and that, it's hard to find time, but, like, if you're really serious about it, people will find time.
And you know what, the funny thing about it is, if you look at someone like what we talked about earlier, I won't mention myself, but, like, it's true. Even if you've got a hectic schedule, you can find time to fit it in. Especially the older you get.
Yeah.
You go, could probably make this work. Because when you're on your almost, not your last legs, but when you're on your, I guess when you're on your kind of on your days that, you know, they're numbered, I've been able to be an athlete and be competitive in being an athlete, you kind of go, ooh, how can I fit this in? Whereas when you're young, which is the point I'm making with you here, and with what you're saying, like, is that when you're young, embrace it.
Yeah.
Because the older you get, time is hard to find.
Things are going
to
stack up.
Like. And if you've got an older guy coming in, the likes of Keigo used to come in and fucking show up some of the young lads and be more dedicated than the young lads.
Still in shape though. Still in shape. 100%.
Keigo works harder than
I wrestled Keigo a few times.
And Keigo works harder than fucking most people.
Mm.
And he's, you know what I mean? He's as he likes to always say, he's an old man, as he always says. But he would find time with a really hard and important job for his family.
Yeah.
He would find time to come in and make that time for training. So if you're young, fucking embrace it.
Lads like Captain Sexy from Club Tropicana.
Yeah.
He's a hectic job.
Yeah.
He's real scheduled. He just bought a house, like, and he's like
how old is he?
He's
old enough, isn't he?
Mid twenties. Mid to late twenties, I'm not
too sure. Just wondering. I'm just wondering.
Over 25.
He bought a gaff and all that.
Yeah, so he's bought a house, has a super hectic schedule, but he has not missed one day in the gym. He's always training, he's always down training, he's on poster runs whenever they're going up. He's like putting in super work and it's shown so much. It's shown with him because I feel like he's improved. Like, he's probably one of the most improved wrestlers I've seen over the past year in Ireland. A lot of people wouldn't think it because he's kinda a real comedy oriented, but folks on his in ring stuff, it's really, really smooth and he knows exactly where to be.
Well, you see, there's comedy and then there's Joey Ryan, he's doing the right stuff.
He's gotten in fantastic shape. He's gotten in super good shape. Because he's naturally a really, really skinny person.
Yeah.
And he's gotten.
It's always easier for us. See, the thing about that's what happens with me, of like literally do a workout and everything goes. I'm like, oh, bollocks, how do I put that back on? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm naturally skinny. Like.
Yeah, I'm the same, yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. But it's horrible.
Yeah, he's putting in major work. Same with Callum Black. He's not a lad who has like a really tough schedule, but like he's still finding all the time in the gym. I feel like the year I had last year, he's just about to come into that for himself, Callum Black, because I feel like he's the most underrated talent in all of Ireland.
Callum Black.
I feel like in training and stuff, he's right up there with me. And he's getting to wrestling now. He's going to Cork soon. I tag with him and stuff on the smaller shows.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are gonna have to rise up with him because I'd have a match that I really, really enjoyed with him in December on Contenders. It's really, really fun, and I feel like he's out for a great year ahead of him anyway, because he's putting in all the hard work. Fantastic attitude. It's not reason for him not to really.
That's it, the world's our oyster. Do you know? Grey man told me that once, and I won't mention his name, but you know who it is.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And I swear to God, he said it to me years ago, and at the time, like, he was kind of my messiah.
Yeah.
And I went, you look at him now, and you go, Jesus, he's right.
He knows what he's talking about.
And you're going, shit, I'm 34 now, maybe he's fucking right. Maybe the world is me, oyster.
Yeah.
And it's true. And like what I'm, I suppose the message I'm kind of giving here is that like younger lads should be embracing because as you mentioned, if you've got a guy that can do that, have a full time schedule, a hectic schedule, but still find the time to train, still find the time to do it, it doesn't mean you have to be there every week. Like if there is a time where you can't because life gets in the way,
and it does,
it does. But if you're able to kind of, I suppose, articulate that back to the trainers, look, I'm going to get down every time I can, working this week, but I'll be here on this way, and make kind of alterations to kind of show, people will go, fair play to that lad. In fact, if you miss 2 weeks because people know that you're working your bollocks off to earn a living, but you're back fucking double shot, the following week, they're going, look at that lad.
Yeah.
Every bit of time he has, he's here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's ways of finding time for the boss, and there's ways of finding, and we know what the boss is. Like.
Yeah. Like, even like back to Captain again. We had that comedy show last week in Wales. It's hilarious, it was.
Mm.
He wasn't sure he was gonna get there because he was in work, but he ended up getting off work. Like, I think he got off early or something, but like, he ended up like showing up. Then he told, oh, do you want to do a skit later? He's like, yeah. So he like went off to like, TK Maxx. They got a whole fucking get up for this skit. They got a whole outfit for it. Went back to the pub, done the whole thing, and he was fantastic on it. Like, this was just on like a couple of hours notice. Like, he was supposed to be in work for the whole thing. But then like, I'm getting off early, and like, then he came, done that. Then the next day, like, And he was that night, like, Chad was like, yeah, we're having you on the stadium tomorrow, like. Then he went in the stadium and he absolutely smashed it, like.
Deadly.
Him and Aiden, like, they both were putting in, like, a lot of work, and they're both really, really, like, improving, so.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's going to be all about you again.
Yeah.
Because you're putting people over, and I love it. I love it.
I know, like, I've always
and it's a great,
like, I love seeing all the lads improving. Like, it's really rare for me to see.
It's a great thing, man. Yeah. It's a great thing for you to be even doing it, like, as I said, at such a young age. And that's why the likes of Jordan and all kind of really kind of stand by you and kind of always mention you as...
Yeah, I feel like I'm the best people I can stand by yeah. behind me.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about Liger.
Yeah.
You and Liger.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're like me and you're a fan of your wrestling merch and your MMA merch and your boxing merch, there's only one place I go, and that is Wrestling Mania. That's right. Wrestling Mania is located at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's your one-stop shop for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. It's Ireland's only dedicated pro wrestling shop and carries all the latest wrestling, MMA, and boxing merch, including brands like WWE and UFC and Ring of Honor, and much, much more. And hey, if they don't have it in there, they can get it. If you don't see what you want and you know something that you do want, well, the guys in the shop can get it in for you. And get this, if you can't make it into the shop, they'll send it to you. That's right, they will actually deliver it to your house. So if you want your wrestling, MMA, or boxing hookup, go to Wrestling Mania, located once again at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Center. Go check them out on Facebook. So it's Wrestling Mania on Facebook. You'll be able to drop them a mail. Very responsive, very appreciative, and also very welcoming and accommodating. Wrestling Mania for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. Go right now. We are back. I'm back with Scotty, and we are going to talk about Liger, just like we said just before the break.
Mm-hmm.
Something incredible happened. A lot of people don't realise a lot of dreams in life.
Yeah.
I'm jealous, I've got to say. Lots of people are jealous. You got to wrestle the incredible Jushin Thunder Liger, greatest junior heavyweight champion of all time. One of the best characters of all time. Yeah. One of the best symbols of all time of professional wrestling, I dare say. And to be honest with you, it's not really arguable.
No. At that point. It's hard to argue that.
Yeah. Two shows ago, you got the word from Will Ospreay after teaming with Will Ospreay that you were going to be wrestling Jushin Thunder Liger. So you had, what, maybe a month, 2 months in between that and Scrappermania. What's going through your head when you hear this? Give me the timeline.
It's hard when you hear something like that, like, and you have over 1,500 people like chanting for you and showing the support. So like all you can really do is take it in. But then when you, like, even that whole day, you have people coming up and saying congratulations. You're like, thanks. It's still hard to like comprehend what sort of task it is that like being put in front of you.
Yeah.
It's only until you like get to go home and like sit down and like, think about it like that, like.
When the door is shut. Yeah. And you're on your own. Yeah.
It's only then when you kind of like comprehend the level of like the level that is, and for me it was like when you talk about like certain dreams people have, like for me that was never even a possibility. Like I was like, maybe I'll like get onto wrestling these like superstars that I grew up with when I'm like mid-20s, 30s maybe.
But you thought maybe you might get to wrestle Fergal or something at least, probably, like Finn Balor.
Probably once. If I get really good and lucky at some stage, maybe I'll get to wrestle him. But
wrestling someone like
Liger was a legend before I was born. Like he was like the symbol of like professional wrestling. It's hard, like,
yeah.
It's hard, like, if you like you would say to someone, oh, yeah, I'd wrestle Liger one day, they'd be like, fuck off. Like no one would believe you.
Yeah.
And it's just then I was finding it hard to believe so much. Like leading up to it, but like even out like preparing, it was the match had Liger, I was in the best shape in your life. I got the nails a lot, like I wasn't really like minding what I was eating around. I was eating a lot of shit, I was eating like so much sugar. I was drinking like 5-6 bottles of Coke a day, like just I was like going through like all this shit feel, but I wasn't even like comprehending that. I was just like, I'm thirsty, I'll drink this, I'm hungry, I'll eat that.
It's there in front of me, yeah. I'll drink it. Yeah,
then,
exactly.
When I got the meals then about later, I was like, nope. I just switched up completely. I dropped sugar completely.
Yeah, because you were shredded like a motherfucker for that.
I dropped sugar completely.
I was wondering, I was like, he's at the doing something for this.
dropped what I was like in the gym like all the time, like, and was in the gym probably the most I've been. Dropped sugar completely, dropped a lot of carbs, and so like I was really minding what I was eating this time around, and like I was constantly conditioning myself, and even like things like energy drinks and all that, like if you weren't speeding me up, you would just slow me down. And then when I cut them out, like I feel like I got to like a different level, and I could feel like a lot more comfortable. I was better in training, I was better in matches and things like that. And when I got to the Liga match then, like it was like I felt ready. Like Jordan and stuff come after me, like, man, you're an alien or something. Like, how are you not panicking about this? Like, how are you not nervous about going out there and wrestling Liga? And that's like, I just feel ready. Like, and it was a lot of people like didn't really get it because he thought I was gonna be like super panicky. I was like,
but you'd had that conversation in your head obviously with yourself,
yeah,
for like the weeks beforehand,
yeah,
and you'd obviously prepped yourself, had you?
Yeah, even when you came in, you walked in with his mask on and everything. I was like, this is like, it's mad. Like, and then,
did you get a little bit nervous just at that point?
Yeah, when you walked in, I was like, shit, it's happening,
it's real.
But then, like from like him being around and stuff, like,
did he take the mask off at all? No.
Well, calling it, but like, it was weird. Like,
he never takes it off.
But he's like, but he was just the nicest lad down as well. Like, you won't believe how nice he is. He's like,
he seems that kind of way, doesn't he?
Yeah, like super nice, super generous. He's like up for everything. Like, he's still at his age. He won't slow down. He'll do everything. He'll still like do anything anyone else would do. Like, he wouldn't restrict you. Like at his age, he can be as restricted as you want. He could be like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, but he's not. He wants to do everything. He wants to like.
And like he almost beat you. Like he almost, but like he fought hard. Which he was. You know what I mean? You gave him a good whooping.
Yeah, it was really fun. Like just being in there. Like obviously, like when I wasn't nervous going out. I was really confident. I was like, I'm ready, I'm confident. And everyone's just like looking at me like, how is he not panicking? Like, and like he found it weird. And I know a few people have. I remember like Juice Robinson like said it to someone like, how is he like Juice Robinson was saying, I made him nervous. Like, you sent it to someone else that I made him nervous by how calm I was approaching the match.
Yeah.
And like before going out behind the corner and stuff like that. And so like people kind of looking at me going out and like being calm, just being like, what the fuck? Like, so when I went there, I was really confident, and I was like, yeah, I'm fucking in, and that's just saying,
I'm ready.
I've been here before, I'm ready. And then it gets music players, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
He took everything away from you.
For a moment. And I was like, this is surreal. And then the streamers come flying in, and I'm like, this is like so much that I've dreamed of, like,
because it was very Japanese, wasn't it? Like, yeah. I saw you kicking the streamers out, and you were kind of you were looking real kind of calm. Yeah, I was trying to get your attention. I was like, Scotty, I was trying to see you, and you were like, oh, fuck you, I hear my name, but I'm not looking at anyone.
But I was like once you got going, I was like, right, I know where I am, I know who he is, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So we got going. It's great. And then
you got the win.
Mm.
Incredible. Like, to beat Liger. Yeah.
When it happened, like, I pinned 1-2-3 and I didn't hear that. I was like, no.
Oh, he was actually very surprised.
When I didn't hear anything after the pin, I was like, fuck, what happened? Like, did I do something? Like, did something happen? And then he went, because there was that kind of moment of like,
it was shock.
Oh fuck. And then, yeah, so like,
it was shock, yeah.
So people were shocked by it, and then like, so there was that moment of silence before people actually reacted to it.
I think the Irish crowd had that kind of it was almost like, it reminded you of the Undertaker Brock Lesnar thing.
Yeah.
Shrieks over? What?
Yeah.
Scotty Davis just beat
the best junior heavyweight of all time. What? Like,
You should have got on the mic and said, where's me belt? What me belt?
eventually you'll get one.
you will get that. No, man, that's incredible. Like, so I know what you mean. Like, you were kind of going, fuck, was this? Did I actually just beat him? And people aren't saying that. Fuck.
Yeah, then, like, the day, like, and I was like, right, this is bleeding quality. And then, I couldn't glow it for ages after. I was like, nah, he's like...
It was the best. Like, I mean, it was part of two of the best moments on the show. Like,
yeah,
for a lot of people, you know, a lot of it. Like, I was there and I heard the people, and they were like, between you and Jordan, like, they were the two matches almost that people were really.
It's insane, like, to think
you're their boys. Like, you're their guys. Don't like, you grew up with those fans? Don't forget.
I only debuted in ODT 2 years ago, but I was in that area.
And you've wrestled just in total.
To the month, like. And, to the month now, 2 years ago. And, it's weird to think that, like, there's 2,200 people in this venue, and, like, half of them are, like, being like, yeah, this is the match I want to see, like.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that's true. It's true, man. I was the boots on the ground at the time, and that's what they wanted to see. It was
like, it's nuts, like, to think about that. Like, even like last night, I like main evented my first like main ODT show, and it's crazy to think like that. Like, it's been like that. It's built like this for like since like 2 years ago. But like, yeah, like, I'm not saying that like I don't believe myself. I do completely. I'm just like, completely confident in my ability, and I believe I'm like, I walk towards where I am, and like I do deserve a lot of things I get.
That's fair. But, that's fair, man.
Yeah, no, it's incredible to think about, like, to be like put on this platform, because it's one of the best promotions in the world now. Like,
well, what you're doing is correct, because you're embracing the opportunity you've been given, but you're also accepting the fact that you put yourself in the position for this opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and I think that's what happens. A lot of people that deserve the opportunity that you have been given opportunities before, but it overwhelms them.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah,
a good few times.
Do you know what I mean? And they're not ready for it. And I think what you've got is that you've got the ability to separate yourself from the fucking fandom. Do you know what I mean? You're able to go, wow, this is incredible, but then go, no, work to do.
Yeah,
that's called being a professional. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it is. And I think a lot of people that have maybe fallen before, it's because they're just too overwhelmed.
Yeah,
anxiety kicks in.
I've noticed it a lot of times. Like, even like some of my friends, it's happened. But like, so
yeah, it's just it's like anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Some people are given a position in a job that they're not ready for, more than qualified to do it. Yeah, but. So, like, under no circumstances should you, like, and that's what I like about you. You said the great thing, the best thing there was that you know you deserve the opportunity, but you're overwhelmed by it. Not overwhelmed by it, but...
it's surreal at times.
Surreal, exactly. Not overwhelmed, sorry, wrong choice of words, but it's one of those things where you go, I've earned this.
Yeah.
This is mine, like, I'm taking it. But you take it.
Yeah, even like when someone, I've seen people have bad matches, and I've seen it get to people's head, and I've seen like they had one bad match and like, oh fuck, like then you like start second guessing themselves and you start doubting themselves. Like, I've had bad matches.
Everyone's had bad matches.
I've had numerous bad matches, but like when I have one, I'm just like.
You learn from it.
Right, that was shit. Well, I'm not gonna go on it. I'm gonna improve on it, and I'm gonna make sure that never happens again. Like,
they're the matches that you do watch over and over again.
Mm.
The bad ones. Yeah. You go. Oh shit, what did I do wrong there? Like,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, I love it, man. I love it. I love your attitude. I think it's a good attitude, and it's definitely something that's gonna bring you further into your career when you as I said, like, I keep reminding people that are listening to this show that, like, you're 18. The level of maturity that you're showing as an 18-year-old is incredible.
About a year ago, someone who I was saying about earlier, like, who, like, you're like seeing I was getting a bit of success behind me, and you're seeing I was like starting to, perform in the UK and stuff, and like, you start getting really jealous of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
But like, they were still like being fake to me, and they were like, being fake to me, and
pretending to be
but then, like,
happy for you, but not actually. Yeah.
Then the audience are really, really jealous of that, and they're like, I remember, like, something happened where, like, they said that that because of my attitude is so bad, and that wrestling's all gonna blow up in my face, and I'm gonna ruin it for myself.
Yeah.
They said that this time last year, and since then,
look what's happened.
Yeah.
Joke's on you, bitch.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah.
I said it.
Yeah. So, there's
nothing. There's nothing.
So, like, I've had people, like, try kind of hold me back from it, and, like, kind of come up, but, like, if I'd have believed them, then, like, I'd have been a sucker. Like, so I know me actually.
Well, you've got fire in the eyes. One thing, I'll tell you one thing. People around me know that I judge a motherfucker by their eyes.
Yeah.
And you've got fire in the eyes. Like, that's not just a gimmick, that shotgun. I like that, by the way. Where did you get that from?
I was just, you start calling me the shooter, so...
Like, yeah, I like it, man. No, but especially the shotgun one, because like, it's easy to go Shooter McGavin. If someone said, here, you're the shooter, I'd have been bang, bang. But I like that one. I was like, shit, wouldn't I think of that? Probably would have went for the bow and arrow or something, but... Yeah. No, but, like, you've got conviction behind it, and the eyes don't tell lies, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always know a snake. Mm. You can tell a snake from the waters they drink... And the company they keep.
Yeah.
And usually the company they keep are fucking yes men and people that kind of abide to their every little snaky move.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But the fact that you've got to where you've gotten, jokes on them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So.
Well, like, that's the thing about wrestling. Like, I've met, like, my favourite people. I've met my family, like, through wrestling. Yeah. And, like, And you can tell who's going to stick as well. It's like a lot of like what you're saying about how you can tell a snake. Like, I've known a good few snakes through wrestling as well. I've known a good few dickheads. And don't last. They don't last. The worst people I've met through wrestling, I can happily say they've left or they'll still be leaving. Like, I've met a lot who have been like dickheads. Never like.
I was trying to think of a few names to call out there for the sake of crack, but I was like, do you know what?
Yeah.
Well, let's not even give them.
Yeah. Like, you don't deserve the spotlight.
Exactly, yeah.
But, when there's dickheads and they're acting a dickhead, people are noticing that they're a dickhead, like, it might be shit having them around whatever they are, but, like, if you just leave them to their own devices, then they'll eventually just fuck off for themselves.
Self-destruction mode, man. Yeah. That's exactly what happens, you know what I mean? Because there's not enough people left to hurt or to try and sabotage, so they end up sabotaging themselves.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
I've and seen the thing, that so many times, like,
well, you're very lucky because you've got great people.
Back and look at it, like, you know what I mean? I'd sit back and look at it as opposed to truck driver, like, make a big scene out of it.
Yeah, just watch it unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're lucky because you've got Paul Tracy.
Yeah.
Paddy Morrow. Fucking obviously Joe Cabray.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Cabray is your kind of, he is your coach, your messiah, your kind of.
All them boys I know, like, I'm doing classes on all them that you've just named, exactly. Like, they're fantastic people, like, incredibly supportive, like, you've no idea how helpful they are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the likes of, like, Jordan and stuff, like, he's always gonna, he's like taking me under the wing, he's like constantly like telling me like what's good for me and like that, and he's like, he's looking after me then when I'm in the UK and like things like that, so like I have like all the right people looking out for me.
I learned your name from Jordan, believe it or not.
Yeah
that's true. About two years ago
Jeez,
I might be shot for this, but we had an NWA reunion out in Bray, and it was there after a few soda pops. Too many soda pops, we were all talking, and Jordan was, your name was the only name that he was talking about as, like, the guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
He's been really supportive of me, like, Like, even, like,
super dude, man. One of my favourite people on the planet, like,
Like, I remember his first last, like, coming back as well, like, when he, like, took all that time off.
He was playing football with us out in Bray. Yeah. He was getting into the football.
I remember his first last back and stuff. I remember coming up and like talking to me about things. He was like, you're like pretty, like, can you do this, can you do that? And I was doing the head springs and stuff, like, and he was doing backflips and all, like, you're gonna like playing off each other and things. But like since like we'd done like a little bit, like since we like locked up at that point, I think I was like 14. Just had this chemistry and like we just kinda
There's always a favour. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and like it's weird to think that as well, because like even when I go to the UK, like I've had like Osprey here, like looking out for me and putting me like putting my name forward and like talking about me and like putting me in high regard, And then like I'd go over and like the likes of like Travis Banks, who's been really supportive of me too, Pete Dunne and Trent Seven, they've been really, really supportive of me, and they're like they've helped me in any way I can.
Trent and, likes your mustache, that's what
I last week I sat down with Trent for about an hour, and we just discussed like all the things I've been doing and stuff, and like he was just like giving me advice on certain things, like this and the other. Like he didn't have to, but like
he was just being
supportive and helpful, and like just some of these lads are just really like really come and support me like that, and I feel like I just feel like I have a fantastic group of people supporting me and behind me.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. And I mean, look, it's only onwards and upwards for you, to be honest with you.
I feel like a big reason for me being where I am today is because of the people I have supporting me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to continue, my friend. It's going to continue. But look, I think that's probably the best way to leave the podcast, to be honest with you, because that's phenomenal. You've got a fan of me, you've got a friend of me. I feel like that song should come in. You've got a friend of me. No, but I mean, I'm like, as I said, it's only my second time meeting you, man, but like I feel like I'm super proud of you from, you know, a standpoint of being such a pro wrestler in the sense that like I'm so pro wrestling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like people are gonna go, Ian's talking about he's a pro wrestler. I mean, I'm pro wrestling before anything else. To me, you kind of embody what I see wrestling as it should be, and thank you for fucking putting my faith in wrestling back. To be honest with you, do you know what I mean? Because like I said, there's a lot of guys, and I know I'll probably get in trouble for this, but like when I see Joey Ryan fucking using his dick as a fucking gimmick and stuff like that, and you know, I get in trouble then for kind of going, oh well, you know, it's comedy and it's this and that, and I get shot down for my opinion.
Yeah.
As you know, these days you can't have an opinion without offending somebody. But you know, I think you just embody what a professional wrestler should be. You're only 18, and I'll be fucking watching your story with I guess suspense, with nerves, but also with fucking faith as well.
Yeah.
Because I think you're going all the way to the top, my friend.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. I do appreciate it, my friend. I appreciate it. And I mean it. Yeah. I mean it, 100%. Thank you, Scotty.
No, thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.